Even the Pharisees understand the master of any vineyard deserves what's his. Those denying him his fruits deserve to die. And in telling this parable, Jesus is talking about them. Jerusalem will fall under God's indictment when he says in the Gospel of Matthew, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how I would gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not." Jerusalem would become a city of death for God's servants, and Jesus is no exception. The master has sent his son to collect, but will die at the hands of wicked tenants. They should have produced fruits. They should have embraced the master's servants and given them their due. They should have turned at Jesus' word and believed. They should have taken care of what they were given, but they've done none of it. They want the vineyard for themselves and give nothing to their master. So depraved is their thinking. They believe by killing the master's son, they'll get his inheritance. They'll have what he has. They'll be like God, owning the vineyard. They fear neither God nor his wrath, for their sin has made them stupid. Our haste to mock and chastise the Pharisees and Jews in general for their foolishness towards Christ is halted by our own track record. They are not the only ones to lose something God had given them. Read Luther's preface to his large catechism, and you'll hear the reformer bemoan that his people, the German people, were plagued by laziness and apathy towards the gospel after the shackles of the papacy were loosened from blows by the Reformation. The gospel, for the first time in a long time, was finally being proclaimed in sweet clarity according to Scripture, only to be received by lazy gluttons apathetic to the counsel of God. Luther observed this attitude, and his predictions of the gospel being like a passing rain shower from one land to another would become true. In the midst of the Reformation celebrations that will soon be erupting throughout the world is the reality that in Germany, the birthplace of the Reformation, Orthodox confessional Lutheranism is no driving force, but more like a relic of the past. The pure gospel championed by Luther and so many others has moved on at the will of sinful people who know better, want the church for themselves, and have no use for faithful tenants from God speaking his holy word without reservation. In the United States, we're heading towards the same end if we're not already there. So heed the warning. God is certainly not above taking what's his and giving it to someone else who bears fruit. And God does look for fruit from his vineyard. It will not suffice to be unfruitful. That is not an option for God's people. We must be fruitful. So be fruitful. To our ears, that might sound something like try harder, do more good things, be more pious, loving, and the like. And all that is good. All that is good, right, and noble for the Christian. But as weeds suck the nutrients from daffodils and roses, the sinful flesh sucks the life out of our fruits. Attempts to be more loving towards the neighbor are desirable, absolutely. And we should love. While confessing with the psalmist, who says, "I am poor and needy. O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you." The blessed psalmist knows his sin, and he lived as we do, as sinner and saint, old creation in combat with the new. And as the psalmist David could only survive his trials and his many, many sins by looking to the giver of all life, so do we. The call to bear fruit, that is a call to repentance and faith. It's a call to look again to the one who slays and makes alive, who vindicates us by his name, absolves and washes us of sin, and puts us on level ground. Being fruitful doesn't mean try harder than the Pharisees. It means believe in the one who plants and waters, nourishes and grows. God's vineyard will produce fruit, because he planted it. He protects it with a hedge. It makes plenty of wine and even has a tower for defense. For us, it goes like this. Life in the vineyard is life in the church. God is a rock and a refuge from every trouble. He gives daily bread. He gives himself to you to consume when you approach his altar. Enemies have no place in the vineyard, as it is for God's called, chosen, faithful people who bear fruit because they live in Christ with his Holy Spirit that produces according to God's gracious will. God will produce in you as you live in him by faith. Faith always makes fruit because it is from God. And having faith means having God's Holy Spirit that produces in his people according to his good and gracious purpose and will. But Jesus' stern parable, along with simple church history, should serve as an admonition for us not to lose any of this, and we will, if we despise God's word in order to live for ourselves. We will lose the vineyard if we reject outright his righteous law, convicting us of sins like abortion, divorce, greed, laziness, his law defining what it means to be and live as male and female, husband and wife, mother and father. We mustn't reject his law commanding us to forgive and love the neighbor instead of despising them. The sinful hunger exists to beat the servant preaching God's word, law and gospel, because bearing fruit with repentance isn't as desirable to the old Adam as living in sin without those pesky admonitions and threats of God. God threatens the Pharisees to take from them his kingdom. He will take his word, his gospel, his kingdom, his vineyard, and give it to other people who will hear it and believe and blossom because of it. So bear fruit. Repent and turn once again to the one who has planted his vineyard and sent his son into his vineyard to be the gatherer of fruits. Because when Christ is in the vineyard, everything's great. And Christ will be with his church, with and among his people to the end of time, taking his loved ones through death into his paradise, where we feast with him in separation from sin. In the parable, Jesus knows those who want him out. He predicts his death, knowing the tenants will take him outside the holy city and crucify him in a lowly, disgusting place when he's nailed to the cross for the world to mock. But even the catechized, lifelong Lutheran Christian suffers the tendency to become a mocker who wants the son out of the vineyard. So watch yourself. Be careful. And repent daily. Because when Christ is in his church, in his vineyard, tending to his people, there will be fruits, there will be forgiveness, life, immortality. He is the cornerstone who dashes to pieces his enemies, and he is the stumbling block to those who fall on him. This is just more consolation for the baptized, because it means the enemies will not hijack the vineyard from God, but are defeated and crushed by the stone who is God. His vineyard doesn't wither and decay, but it will always exist. The church will always exist, even as enemies try to prevail against it. Wicked tenants can't destroy the vineyard, but God will take it and give it to others. Your sin, temptation, the devil, death, these things will not prevail against you because of the chief cornerstone, who is marvelous in God's eyes. It was the Lord's doing to ascend to the cross. It was the Lord's doing to redeem you by laying down his life at the hands of wicked tenants, only to become the chief stone of the church, the foundation and headstone of God's people, in whom and by whom we hold together. He is the stone that crushes and the foundation for the baptized believer. Therefore, as he lives, so do you. As he is risen and ascended, so will you, when at the resurrection you will stand before God, redeemed in Christ. The fruits are purified, the works are good in him, and you have access to God's eternal habitations at his blessed word. We can speak boldly about this, about heaven, about forgiveness, about redemption, about where we go beyond death, not because of our thoughts and our emotions and our desires even, but solely because of God's promise fulfilled by the work of Jesus. In him, we have what he says we have. So be the tenant that trusts in that. His word, his gospel. Be speaking righteousness into your hearts and your ears. Even despite all of your sins and shame, Jesus has put all of that to death. He puts our flesh to death and raises us with him to live free and clean, fruitful, and just. So pray, dear Christian. Pray that we may be good tenants in God's vineyard in his church. Pray that in his mercy we would hear his word, repent, and bear fruit, living as he says we do. And the certainty of his forgiveness, free forgiveness, total forgiveness. We live in his love and his promise. His promise that he will always be your cornerstone in every trial and tribulation, and he will gather you at his appointed time, only to take you in his arms to be with him and all the saints in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which truly does surpass all human understanding, may his peace guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto that blessed life everlasting. And he will do it. Amen.